Welcome to Women Take Charge. I'm Amri Mafadon, your host, and I'm joined here today by Charmaine Chan at Lucasfilm/ILM, which is Industrial Light and Magic. You will recognise Lucasfilm for the Lucasfilms, all the big movies. If you don't recognise it, welcome.
Ever since a young age, I've been a huge Spice Girls fan. Very much girl power since a very young age. I built a fan website. To me, representation absolutely matters, and it's so important. You know, that's what I love about technology, right? Like, it's ever evolving. Your art is ever evolving as well. Women in all these supervisor positions, they're here, and they're doing some of the best, biggest projects you can think of. There's definitely been a lot of exciting projects that I've worked on. I think one of the highlights was definitely working on Black Panther.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be.
Ryan Coogler, the director, was very adamant about making sure that his crew, cast and crew, were a reflection of society, so a diverse cast. So, you know, we've done digital scans of actors. And, you know, it's always been, you know, a point to make sure that these actors know what is happening with their digital doubles. I think the problem with a lot of the deepfake being used these days is there is no consent, right?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're working on this new project now at Lucasfilm, which won't be secret by the time this podcast comes out, called Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars TV series.
I have never met a Mandalorian. I've only read the stories.
What's exciting is that, you know, we've used all this new technology, and this is the first time we're trying live action in a TV episodic format.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. What is something that has been particularly difficult or quite new that we can look out for in episode one?
So The Mandalorian is a cowboy western sci-fi episodic. We are following this bounty hunter through a whole bunch of different quests. There are a lot of creatures, there's a lot of, you know, just, it's super fun.
Bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
It has great comedic beats, and we're using brand new technology in it. There's not too much I can disclose right now about the technology that we use, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of old school and it's a little bit of new school.
Nice.
And I think that's where visual effects really succeeds. You're just gonna have to watch and find out.
Charmaine, what is a lead compositor?
Right. So I do visual effects for film and TV, and we basically create all those worlds and creatures that don't exist in reality and put them into those films that you see. As a compositor, I'm the one who takes all those elements, whether they be CG renders or the plates that you shoot on set, basically like green screen elements, and I kind of layer them all together and deal with lighting and effects and basically make that final polish image that you see.
So you're like the person that removed, was it the mustache or the beard? In Superman.
I mean, I personally did not work on that, but that is definitely one of the tasks that we get to do, yeah. which is like sometimes it's cosmetic from like removing mustaches or like actually painting out little gray hairs on someone because we don't want them to look old.
Okay.
To the more extravagant things like a giant ship coming out of water for like Pirates of the Caribbean.
What is the most random thing that you've had to do as a composer?
Ooh, most random thing. Actors appear very gorgeous and glamorous. A lot of times they're not quite. I won't mention specifically whom, but certain actors may be shorter than we expect.
I think we can guess what you're talking about.
And quite often they have to, you know, stand on apple boxes or wear heels. And I remember one of my first ever shots that I ever had to composite, I had to remove an apple box that this major big actor was
standing on.
That was
one of your first things that you had to do.
Yeah. When you're starting off, you get tasked with the little things that, you know, most people don't want to do.
And they shouldn't have to exist. If you're short, you're short. You own
no,
them,
absolutely.
That's it, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, gosh. Hollywood's selling an image.
Can you imagine having to do that for kind of race or someone's skin color?
Yeah.
Like things that you just can't change. I think a lot of people would love a lead compositor in their life in general. I think makeup artists do a good job, but actually compositing would be amazing. How do you become, maybe not necessarily lead compositor specifically, but how do you become someone that works in VFX, in visual effects?
Yeah, so I feel like when it comes to visual effects, the great thing is that it combines both art and technology.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can't have one without the other. So it doesn't matter if you come from an art background or a tech background, if you have a passion for filmmaking, mm-hmm. if you have a passion for just visual storytelling, this is definitely the industry for you.
Okay. And you yourself, do you have that arts background? Do you have that technical background?
A bit of both. I went to university studying art, studio art specifically, but I focused in photography and video production. But on the side, I've always been a huge nerd. I've been like playing video games since like age 8. I built my first computer at like age 12. And I kind of taught myself programming and scripting on the side.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. And is that something you did along the side when you were 12, kind of younger? Or is it something you've done once you've entered the industry?
No, this is actually something I did ever since I was a young teen. Because ever since a young age, I've been a huge Spice Girls fan.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Very much girl power since a very young age. But I built a fan website. You know, awesome. Which okay. was, you know, you make the graphics and yeah. you do some HTML and like mm-hmm. CSS behind. And yeah, that was kind of like my kick of just like, ooh, this is fun, where it's a mix of both, you know, technology and art.
So you were that self-described kind of nerdy person. But
absolutely.
You studied art at university. So take me through the choices and the decisions going from nerdy to art person.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was like, I said, I was very nerdy. I was very much like focusing on maths and sciences throughout high school. And I even took a computer science class in high school because my school offered that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm taking all these programming classes, I'm like, all right, I can do this. But it's like, you know, you're just staring at text all the time. And I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see the results.
Okay.
And I felt like programming didn't quite give me the visual results I wanted to, but I saw that, like, you know, creating websites, like, I can see the results. And so I was trying to look for something that was more, you know, within the digital realm, but more visual. And so that's where I landed upon more like video and photography, which is a great foundation for, you know, filmmaking in general.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with, you know, a lot of just like how things are lit, how things are composed, and just like overall using your eye to, you know, figure out what is the way you want to portray its story.
The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was women in VFX and kind of showcasing these stories of women like yourself, women who work across industry, who've got lots of different backgrounds, doing lots of different things in video form, and being able to share their stories, but also talk about what it is that they've done, like the cool things that they've created. What have been the coolest things you've learnt as part of that initiative, that campaign? And what are you excited to see as you continue on it?
So I started Women in Visual Effects around the summer of 2016, which was basically, this was when I was still living in San Francisco right before the 2016 elections of Trump versus Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I was just very motivated to get the stories out there of women in our industry. Like, I personally identify as a queer woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, representation absolutely matters. Yeah. And it's so important. And I've always wanted to see more representation in media. And so I was born and raised in Hawaii, which is a very diverse state. It's a melting pot of like different cultures and different ethnicities. Moved to LA for university, also a melting pot of different cultures. And then I moved up to San Francisco, which I thought would be the same as well, and stepped into the Lucasfilm offices. And it was like, whoa, this is not diverse. I am not seeing people that reflect me whatsoever. But the thing was, that was my first impression as I stepped in. As I started working in the industry longer, I realized there actually are people of color, women, LGBT folks who, again, like I mentioned, they're not in the limelight of everything. But they're talented, they're amazing, and their stories needed to be heard. And clearly, you know, with the 2016 elections, it didn't quite go in a direction that I hoped for. And, you know, I felt like we actually went backwards as a country. And, you know, because of that, I felt like even more that their voices needed to be heard. So I started interviewing people at ILM, specifically women in all these supervisor positions. And it's like, these women have made it.
They're here.
They're here. They're doing some of the best, biggest projects you can think of. And to hear their stories, especially like the ones that have been in industry for 20, 30 years, and how what they've had to go through to get to the point that they're at now, it was just, you know, incredible. And I think it might have been because of the, you know, emotions of the 2016 elections. There was just a lot said and a lot of emotions that were put through that I was very surprised about. I remember interviewing one supervisor, and at one point she just broke down and we cut the camera, and she just like straight up told me that she has two daughters, and she's not sure this is an industry she would ever want to tell her daughters to get into just because of all the stuff that she had to go through. You know, hearing stories like that makes me want to change what our current industry is like.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like that. It shouldn't be like that.
Exactly. I think the more we talk about it on things like this, and the more we can bring it up in our workplace environment, the better we can make the environment for future generations.
And the more of us that are there in the workforce and they're in those environments,
right,
do come and join us in this VFX party.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're listening, looking for a new project, job, a new direction, a new thing to do, do come and join us. And there are all kinds of things you can look out for. And so you studied that at university, the art side. Was it something you then immediately went off into, kind of into the VFX industry? Were there other things that you did? Is it that you graduate and you're like, day one, hey, I'm ready, let's go?
I mean, what do we know when we're in university, right? I mean, I felt like because I had a web development background, I thought that's what I was going to get into. But the thing was, I actually went to university down in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so that basically exposed me to the Hollywood. Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, throughout my university career, I applied for internships and I got positions both in web development, but then I started moving towards motion graphics, which is, you know, manipulation of 2D images in an animated way. And that kind of led me into my first job, which was at Deluxe, which was doing motion graphics for DVD menus. Back in the days of DVDs.
We remember those.
Yes.
Yeah. The DVD thing that kind of bounced around the screen. Was
exactly.
That you?
It was.
Shouting into the microphone. That's amazing, though. It's worth shouting.
I'm like, how many kids still remember DVD menus as a thing, right? Like,
all the older kids remember DVD. Right, yeah, the exactly. Really, really old kids remember DVD. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You could sit and watch that for hours.
Oh, absolutely. We always put in little Easter eggs here and there and just like made it so it's like, you know, it's a game, essentially. Before you watch your movie, you can like see all these extra features. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that like your proudest moment from your career, would you say?
I mean, actually, the Shaun of the Dead UMD was probably my proudest moment. It was a fun little, because we illustrated all these zombies and like made the menu like you're playing a first person shooter.
If we were going to sum up your journey into VFX, and what you know now as a lead, and for anyone maybe wanting to make the switch who's inspired by, if not Hollywood, they're inspired by BAFTA or whatever they're kind of, or Nollywood or Bollywood, what would you say are the kind of main skills that someone would need if they're wanting to enter into the industry?
Yeah, so like I said before, I feel like when it comes to visual effects, it goes back down to the basics of just like filmmaking, right? Mm-hmm. So like filmmaking and cameras, mm-hmm. right? So we're trying to recreate reality in a digital world. And a lot of that happens through a camera lens. Mm. And so if you learn how cameras work, if you learn how lighting affects objects, lighting affects environments, that is always a great way to start into visual effects. But that's if you want to be an artist in visual effects. The great thing about visual effects, though, is that you can get into that industry in using a whole bunch of different skill sets. Mm-hmm. Like, I have colleagues who have PhDs in physics. Mm-hmm. Well, I have other colleagues who used to, like, restore frescoes in churches, you know? And so you can be science-oriented, you can be art-oriented, or you can even just be someone who's just, like, really organized and passionate about the production of film, mm-hmm. you know? And if you want to be a producer, you can be a visual effects producer as well. So your background can vary. It doesn't have to be specifically like what I was talking about, which is the great thing about visual effects. So it's like, if you want to get into filmmaking, if you love these like big blockbuster films, whether it be like Star Wars or anything Marvel, you know, like you can definitely get into it with a wide range of skill sets.
And would you say that someone kind of comes to it with the skills they already have and then learns as they go? Or is it that actually you might want to do a little bit of prep work and kind of learn to code if you're an artist, or if you're on the more development side, you want to kind of learn a little bit more about the art of filmmaking? How open is the industry?
I mean, the industry is super open. And what I've learned is that everyone who's in industry is super passionate about the industry mm-hmm. and wants to teach and learn more. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's great to have that background skill, mm-hmm. but it's not absolutely necessary. I feel like if you have the drive, if you have the passion, you will find the people who will be willing to teach you these things along the way.
Time for a break. Send me a message using the hashtag, #WomenTakeCharge, and please subscribe and rate wherever you listen to podcasts. You're at Lucasfilm, which means that there's lots of things that you're working on that you can tell us. Lots of things you're working on that you can't tell us. What's been, other than the DVD one, which is the highlight of your career, as a lead compositor at Lucasfilm, what's been the most exciting thing that you've got to work on?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a lot of exciting projects that I've worked on. I think one of the highlights was definitely working on Black Panther.
My son, it is your time. You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I'm the only one who's seen it and made it out alive.
Wow, I love that film.
Yeah, it was, you know, we Lucasfilm, ILM has had a strong partnership with Marvel mm-hmm. Since the beginning with mm-hmm. the first Iron Man. And we got to work on Black Panther, which was great. But what I loved the most was that Ryan Coogler, the director, mm-hmm. who's from Oakland originally, mm-hmm. Bay Area, he was very adamant about making sure that his crew, cast and crew, were, you know, a reflection of society. So a diverse cast.
Yeah.
And one thing we struggle in the visual effects industry is that it's not very equal. It's not very diverse. But somehow on Black Panther, we were able to get a pretty diverse crew.
Do you think it was the coolness of the brief? Do you feel like it was the storyline that lent itself to getting you that diverse crew?
I mean, I think it was a lot of it comes from top down, right? Like the fact that the director was very adamant
that it was a priority.
That was a priority for
me. Right,
I think that trickled down. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I think this was the first time I actually worked on a project where I was all like, oh, we have people of color as leads and supervisors, you know, which is
where have you been all my life?
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, they do exist. We do exist. Mm. And everyone's super talented. But the thing is, they're rarely the ones who are in the limelight. They're not the ones who are featured in the behind the scenes kind of things. Mm. And I think being able to see that change happen within our industry, both visual effects and Hollywood, was such a, just personally for me, it was such a like hurrah moment. Just because for me growing up, I've always felt like there's been such a lack of, you know, people of color, women of color being represented.
Have you felt like the only quite a lot in a lot of those rooms?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still do quite often.
Okay.
And that's, you know, a hard topic to breach because, you know, there's definitely a push for that change.
Okay.
But whether or not that change is coming in that timely fashion that, you know, one would hope, that's the hard part.
And there's a push, you're saying, from the top down, kind of in certain places.
In certain places.
Yeah. But not across everywhere. Do you feel like there's enough of a pull? So do you feel like it's something that enough people want to do?
It's definitely been a hot topic, right? Like, especially what I'll say is, like, the nice thing about visual effects being both art and technology is that you have comparing industries, right? You have Hollywood and you have the tech industry. And they've been very much at the forefront of, like, you know, things like the Me Too movement. And, you know, a lot of the topics regarding just, like,
equity, equality.
Exactly. And so we would hope, because that's at the forefront, that it would also reflect in the visual effects industry as well. But the problem is it hasn't, you know, there hasn't been much change, and there's still a very strong boys club going on. Not to say that these people are horrible people. It's just, you know, it's been a societal
culture. Exactly. It's the culture, and it's been the norm, and it's something that needs to be changed. I think what strikes me about it is that it is that breach, that kind of the combination of the two.
Right.
So it surprises me that if we say, you know, a lot of people don't go into tech because they don't have the STEM backgrounds.
Yep.
And then that implies that people, you know, have non-STEM backgrounds, which might be art, might be humanities, might be a number of different things, then that would mean that something like VFX that sits in between the two, you've got the lay of the land, you've got the pick of everyone, you've got all kinds. But then if you add that it's Hollywood, then it's something that's even more visual, maybe.
Right.
Although sometimes it is that kind of thing of, like, the moustache. Like, that becomes a big thing that then it's like, oh, gosh, yeah, someone actually sat and did that and removed a moustache from...
frame by frame.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So then that shines a light on those people, but also, like you're saying, it's behind the scenes. So sometimes there's not even the connection to say, I love Hollywood, this is something I can get involved in and be a part of.
I mean, I think the strongest, you know, issue we have is that, you know, people see we're using computers to make these images. Computer equals tech. So, you know, girls by default will be like, oh, that's a techie thing. I can't get into it. Which is a complete, you know, they should look beyond
something
that.
Something wrong with our social norm, really.
Exactly.
That's told them that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the VFX. I think the other side, I have to say, so obviously I run STEMETS. I work with the girls and young women. Two events ago, so earlier this year, a parent came up to me and said, Amory, you need to help me out. My daughter really wants to be an animator. And she said that, you know, people get paid to do that and it's a good thing to do. And I mean, is she lying? Is that true? Is that something I should be supporting her to do? And
absolutely.
I was like, yeah, you definitely should.
I mean, I actually had that issue myself, right? Like, when I was declaring my major at university and I told my parents, I'm like, I'm going to be an art major. My dad was like,
No, you're not.
You're not going to be selling paintings on the streets. And I'm all like, that's not what I said I'm going to do. You know, so it's a lot of, you know, just education and advocacy of, like, you know, there's more to art than just what people think of, you know, the poor artists. You know, that's what I love about technology, right? Like, it's ever evolving. And because it's ever evolving, your art is ever evolving as well. So I like that I'm in an industry that's constantly trying to innovate whatever the new greatest thing is going to be next.
I wanted to talk a little bit with you, although it's kind of tangential rather than kind of squarely within your industry, deep fakes, because they're something that is hitting the headlines quite a lot. And I know it's something that people are afraid of, people are frightened of. It's been headline grabbing and has kind of, again, shone a light. What are the other altruistic ends? What are the other socially beneficial things that we're seeing coming out of VFX and the future of VFX?
The thing with machine learning is, you know, everyone wants to jump on it. And don't get me wrong, we've definitely jumped on it as an industry as well. You know, we've always needed to create digital doubles. You know, actors definitely cannot be flown around in space or, you know, you know, thrown in the air by a giant robot.
Shh, don't tell them. Don't tell them that.
So, you know, we've done digital scans of actors And, you know, it's always been, you know, a point to make sure that these actors know what is happening with their digital doubles. Right. So, you know, there's this level of consent, which is expected. I think the problem with a lot of the deepfake being used these days is there is no consent, right? You know, they're using people's faces and bodies without their permission and using it in ways for their own agendas, right? I think, you know, there are many different historical things that we can possibly preserve and archive if we're able to recreate, you know, certain imagery. Because, like, we lose things like film, right? Like, let's say a president or a prime minister has an important speech and you have a film of it, but it's been so degraded over time. And if you're trying to recreate it, that's a lot of, like, painting artists, you know, that you need to use to recreate it. But with machine learning, if we can provide, you know, photos of these officials and recreate it in a way so that we can present you history in a clear and accurate way, I think
that's
a
good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Thank you very much, Charmaine, for coming and recording this today.
You're welcome.
And I would like to formally announce your bid for an Oscar. I think this is a thing. You heard
day,
it here
yes.
first. It will happen.
I am working for
it
that.
It is coming. She will be a supervisor. She will be on the noms. And if any of you ever happen to be part of that judging panel, then vote for Charmaine, because she's awesome and she's removed Apple boxes from people. But yeah, brilliant. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Lucasfilm for letting us have her as well. And ILM.
Yes.
This is Women Tech Charge. Subscribe and rate wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.